Hi, everyone. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Thank you, Pastor Walt. I don't know if he's here. And everybody for giving me this opportunity to share about prayer. As Pastor Chris said, I grew up in a family where my dad's side of the family was very demonic. My grandma was a self-proclaimed witch. She just never really wanted to know God. And so when my mom married my dad, the only option was to pray. I mean, at that point, you cannot fight the devil with personality or with the flesh or with anything. And so it basically started out where it's like my family entered into this very, very deep darkness of a family. And she decided, you know what, God, I'm going to fight this battle on my face, on my knees every single night. And so for all my life, since I can remember, my parents and my mom and my sisters have prayed and interceded every day at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's the culture that I grew up in, is in a home where prayer was being left at high. We saw so many miracles. We saw God move every single day. I mean, I have countless of stories I could share. I'll share a few, but I believe in the power of prayer, and not just even praying individually. I believe in two or more people coming into agreement and declaring to God what he says and seeing God manifest here on earth. And I believe that God is changing our culture, and not even just Good News Church or even here as a corporate prayer, but God wants to change your family dynamics through prayer. Amen. God is going to ask some of you guys to go back home and start praying with your kids, because it's going to influence them 10 years to come. Amen. I'm emotional, but it's so true that when we get together with our families and even at work or wherever we are and intercede for the kingdom of God to come here on earth as it is in heaven, God is faithful. He responds because our voice matters and he wants us to do that. Amen. So I'm going to share, just recap a little bit what Jody said last week before we get into it. Jody said prayer, will be our identity as a church. And that is true. We are called as a house of prayer. We are the house of prayer for all nations. And Jody says the closest relationships we will have, the closest friends, our closest people will be the people that we pray with. And Jody also said, corporate prayer has ushered in so many revivals. I mean, if you think about all the revivals, this was a revival and all the others I can't remember now. They were birthed through many, many years of intercession, many, many years of men and women praying, and praying those things into coming into existence. And she also said, our prayers right now will unleash the greatest revival in our nation. Amen. When we come together as a corporate body, the presence of the Lord comes, and we just experience that. That was a powerful time of worship. When we come together in prayer as a people, the Lord comes. His heart is tender towards his people when they come together and worship and pray. She said prayer releases prophetic giftings and spiritual gifts and signs and wonders. She says angels are released on assignments when we pray together. She says, we should be asking right now, even in this moment, as a church, as a nation, to be asking for a pure movement of God. And when they were singing, there's an army rising up, I was so fired up because I felt like God was saying, the prayer movement is that the army that is rising and breaking chains in our environment, in our church, in our community. And so even the army that is rising is going to be the people who are going to intercede and pray to see the great revival coming. Amen. Amen. So, last night, actually, so the Lord did a miracle in our prayer meeting last night, and I feel like that's where God wants me to start tonight. We had a lady who's been coming. So she came on a Sunday very desperate for deliverance. She just was like, the devil is tormenting me. I need help. And so we invited her to come to our Tuesday night prayer meeting because she's African and she doesn't speak good English. She speaks French. And we thought it would be a good environment for her to be part of. And she started coming Tuesday night consistently, and she's been coming for about 3 months. And every Tuesday night, she's just like, I'm being tormented by the devil. I'm afraid to die. She was just in so much fear and so much torment. And we've been praying for her. And our Tuesday night group is being led by Nene, and she does an amazing job declaring God's word. We worship, we pray, and every Tuesday night, we get encountered by the Lord. And last night, she raises a hand. You know, usually she raises her hands to talk, and she raised her hand, and she says, the Lord has baptized me with the spirit of prayer. She says she can't stop praying. This is a lady who was afraid before. She says, I can't stop praying. I am the fear. She says, I'm not afraid to die anymore. The devil has no control over me. I have authority. I have power. And this is a lady 3 months ago. Yes, this is a lady who 3 months ago, she couldn't even identify who she was. She couldn't come to prayer meeting without just this torment and this The devil was so on her. And the Lord was saying, this is my daughter who has been rescued through the power of corporate prayer. This is a lady who has found her identity in Christ because she was consistent with the Lord and pursued the Lord with us as a family. And that's what we've become, really. Tuesday night, it's like we're like a family. And she's joined in and pursued the Lord. And she's seen us pray and seen God move and seen testimonies. And she's seen this consistently for 3 months. And out of nowhere, the Lord just baptized her with the spirit of prayer. And she's a completely different person. She is a completely different person. Praise God. And I just wanted to share that to encourage you. Your prayers in corporate prayer, even in tonight, God did something supernatural. You may not see it right away, but as we are praying and worshiping, God is releasing the spirit of prayer for so many of us afresh. Some of us, we need a new baptism of prayer to pray again. Some of us, we just need a new anointing to really pray and release God's presence. And so I wanted to start with that and just encourage you that corporate prayer is a discipleship process. We're teaching people how to pray. We're teaching people how to walk in their identity. We're teaching people how to have authority, how to utilize the authority, how to speak God's word over their lives. And it's funny because she said, my daughter was sick and I pray for her and her fever is gone. And it's like, who is this person? You know? 3 months ago, we could not get her to say anything but the devil. And now she's like Jesus and praying and healing. And this is what God is wanting to do in this hour is he's wanting to raise up an army of people who know their identity, who know that they can speak God's word, speak it right to his heart, and release God's kingdom here on earth. And so I want to encourage you guys that God is doing that even in our midst right now. I also wanted to share more things about discipleship and prayer is that a few of us decided to go to Thursday night prayer about 3 years ago, I can't remember, and Jody was leading that prayer. And we just decided to just attend and learn how to pray. That was our desire, really, is that God help us, teach us how to pray. We want to go in prayer. And Jody, who spoke last week, did so well just coaching us and teaching us. And it was weeks after weeks after weeks of just imparting into us a spirit of prayer and a spirit of intercession and the spirit of just interceding before the Lord. And before you knew, we had a young adult-led prayer on Friday nights, which has been going for another like 2-3 years now, I think. And again, that's a journey God is taking us as a church. He is discipling us into a church, different pockets of people in different areas who are birthing, who are being baptized with the spirit of prayer for this hour. I also want to share a few more testimonies just because there's so much going on right now. Good things. We just got an email from actually David. I saw David over here. And David is asking our intercessory team to go out and help commission their church's prayer house of prayer. And again, that's what God is doing here is when we started our own house of prayer, God is saying, okay, it's not just for the house. God is saying, go and start commissioning people for their own houses of prayer, for their own prayer ministries. And we get to do that with David in a different church. It's called the Tribe Church. We get to do that in July. So praise God. Amen. I'm going to read Revelation 4. Zach, can you please put that up? Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as a brilliant as gemstone, like jasper and carnelian. And the glory of an emerald circled his throne like rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had golden crowns on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumble of thunder, and in front of the throne were 7 torches of burning lamps. This is the sevenfold spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were 4 living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in a flight. Each of these living beings had 6 wings, and their wings were covered all over the ice, inside and out. Day and night, night after night, they kept saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is and is to come. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And they exist because you created what you pleased. And it's, why am I reading Revelations for corporate prayer? It's because when... one of the things God put on my heart when we started doing corporate prayer was he was saying, corporate prayer begins with me. Corporate prayer begins with God first. And I think today was an amazing night, and it's always is a great night. But the Lord is wanting a corporate prayer to shift from something we just get to do, or it's a Wednesday night, I have to go pray, or it's a Monday, or whenever you go in your home, whatever. God wants to shift our mentality from something that I do to something I get to do because he's worthy. And it's a place of honor, a place of glory. This is a God who is being worshipped 24/7. He doesn't need us to come before him, but he's inviting us. He's inviting us into a relationship and a place of intimacy with him where we get to encounter him. So this is a God. This is a God, the God who sits enthroned above the earth. He is one who is inviting us to come and be in awe of him. And I believe the Lord is saying the more in awe we are of God, the more we will desire to pray and come together and seek him and pray for his will to be done. And the Lord is asking us to go back and read verses about him, about his holiness, to redirect and shift our hearts into saying, God, we need you. We cannot do this without you, Jesus. We cannot do life without the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We cannot bring heaven on earth unless we go to God first. And so God is really shifting and wanting to shift our own perspective on corporate prayer being, well, we get to be with each other too. We get to be with God. And I remember when I was younger, we had storytelling times and we'll have all the kids gather in front of my grandma and everybody was in awe. We just came because everybody wanted to hear grandma. If you watch the movie Moana, you see that the first scene, the kids are all just sitting down and listening to the grandma tell stories. And those times were times of intimacy with our grandma. We wanted to be there. We desired to hear our grandma's wisdom, and we wanted to have that relationship with him. And the Lord gave me that picture this morning and says, I want you guys to come like that. Have that desire to want to be with me as a body of Christ, as one body, as a family of God. Come and desire to sit with me and to hear my voice and to hear my heart for the nation, for our church, for our people, whatever that looks like. But the Lord is wanting us to change corporate prayer from something that we just do to, wow, God, I get to be here. I get to encounter you. I get to be with my family to worship and listen. And today even God spoke. It wouldn't happen in your bedroom, maybe, but God spoke to all of us today, and it shifted the atmosphere, and it's forever marked us as the people of God. And that is what God is wanting us to do, is to come with this expectation of we get to encounter the Lord. We get to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it is such an honor. Amen. Psalm 84:10 says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. There is no place we'd rather be. Nehemiah 1 verse 11 says, O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name. The Lord, his ear is attentive when we come. Like tonight, we came ready. We came honoring the Lord. And his ear was attentive to us. And he spoke and delivered to us. Malachi 3:16-17, it says, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. Again, the Lord is attentive to people who fear him and come before him with honor and great pleasure and great delight because he's worthy. Amen. And even with the Lord's Prayer, again, it starts with, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When Jesus taught us to pray, he started with God. And so with corporate prayer, we begin with God. We begin with, Lord, we're here for you. We came here to meet with you. We'll not leave until we do. And that's a mindset that we need to start with. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to those who seek him diligently. The second part to this whole corporate prayer piece is, it begins with God, but it also ends with God. Psalm 111 verse 1 to 3 says, "Praise the Lord. I will thank my Lord with all of my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty." And so the beginning part of corporate prayer is we come, we're ready to meet with God, we're ready to encounter God, we're ready to fellowship with him and have this union with him as a people. And he responds. Why does he respond? Because everything he does reveals his glory. So when God answers prayer, when we see miracles happening, when we see, we believe, when we see commissioning different churches, when we see miracles, we've seen so many healings, so many deliverances. Even the lady that I talked about earlier, those things he does because it reveals God's glory. And it's a testimony so that we can keep doing it until we see the fullness of God. So again, I said it, when we pray as a people, God answers. He does so for his glory. Therefore, our confidence and persistence and faith in prayer is because we know that God does what he does to release his goodness over his people so all may see and be drawn to him. Amen. In Acts 12, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in Acts 12, when Peter was put in prison, the first part says, "But the church was earnestly praying to God for him." So everybody came together and were praying for him. And then if you scroll down to 17, after Peter came back home, it says, "Peter motioned his hand to them to be quiet and described how God brought him out of prison. And Peter says, 'Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this.'" So they prayed for him, and Peter says, "Make sure people know about this testimony because you prayed, so people know what God is doing." Amen. So again, it comes to that. It starts with God, but it ends with God answers, and it's for his glory. It's for the nations to know him. It's so that people may hear the goodness of the Lord and turn their hearts to him. Amen. The last part that I will touch on is corporate prayer advances the missions movement. And this is something that I learned recently in our perspective class. We had a staff perspective. Woohoo! It was really good. I know. I'm really excited about it. Okay, anyway. So 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 8. And I'll read that. It says, "First of all, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peacefully and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." And I just came across this passage, and it's very interesting because it starts with God saying, Paul telling Timothy, pray for your people, intercede. We need to pray so we can live at peace, so we can see godliness and we can see dignity. But then it goes on to say it pleases God because God wants everyone to be saved. And so it goes back to when we pray as a corporate body, as one body, we're praying so that God will release us into a missions movement, which is we're praying because we want to see many people saved. We want to see people discipled here and taken out into the missions field to disciple people so that more and more and more people will be saved. I heard Mike Bickle once say that the prayer movement fuels the missions movement and the missions movement fuels the prayer movement. We can't do one without each other. We need to be praying for God to send out, and we need to be praying that God will keep sending people out. And a good example is the Moravian community, and this was like in 1791, and you don't need to know the dates, but basically this was a prayer movement that lasted for 100 years, and it was 24/7. For 100 years, people came together and prayed to the Lord. And when I read about it, it says 65 years into it, they had sent 300 missionaries out into the world. They had sent 300 missionaries. That's crazy. And it's because when we start to pray as a corporate body, we start to just have this desire that the Lord has, which is that all may be saved, that all may be in heaven with him. And so corporate prayer births that desire of the Lord. God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. As a corporate body, we just carry that same desire and same anointing and same passion for that. And it releases us to just send people out and for us to even go out ourselves and bring people into God's kingdom. And I've even seen a lot of our prayer leaders or prayer ministry people go out on Saturdays because they know as we pray, God is saying, go after my people. And there's a ripple effect of people praying and going out, people praying and going out. And God is doing amazing things. And Pastor Chris and our team, we also go Wednesdays with Jenny. And as we're praying and going out, God is just doing amazing things in that community. Amen. So the last thing I want to encourage all of us to do is to take our lifestyle of prayer, corporate prayer, into a sphere of influence. And what that means is, you know, Jody said a lot last week, and I hope you guys remember all of it, or go to your notes or replay it. But taking that and taking that into your family, taking that into your workplace, taking that into wherever God is calling you. Because the only way we'll see breakthrough in our workplaces, I know some of you may have issues with your boss or the law, whatever it is, the only way we'll see breakthrough and healing in our bosses, if you have a boss who's not saved, the only way we'll see salvation is if we start praying corporately with the Christians in our churches, in our jobs. And the only way we'll see breakthroughs in our families is if we start praying with our husbands and wives and children and start interceding as a family. And in those moments, that's when revival starts to birth out, really. It's taking corporate prayer into your own sphere of influence. And I really want to encourage you moms and dads, pray with your children. Pray with your children. God, again, the seeds that you sow in those times, they last forever. And God is encouraging all of us, take prayer into your family. Start praying with your family every day. Start encouraging your children to pray. And it's interesting because God will start doing things that will mark your kids. And they'll remember for the rest of their lives, God is good. He did this here and then. They'll have a timeline of the goodness of God for the rest of their lives. Amen. I want us to sing "Great is Your Faithfulness" and just thank God for everything that He's doing. And then we're going to pray together. We're going to pray that God for God to release His Spirit over all of us afresh, a new baptism of the Spirit of prayer over all of us, over our homes, over our jobs. Can we all stand, please? We're going to sing "Great is Your Faithfulness" and just start with thanking God for every prayer that God has ever answered. We're going to thank Him right now. For many, many years, some of you have prayed for your children, for your spouses, for your jobs. There's been so many answered prayers that we've prayed corporately. We believe. We've seen so many miracles, and God is just wanting us to praise Him and thank Him. And then we're going to pray for a fresh baptism of the Spirit of prayer, corporate prayer of our nation, of our family.